So then you leave.
I leave. I've done enough. I've had enough snow for a lifetime. I love Binghamton. They couldn't have been nicer to me. One of the editors came out and said, there's an opening at your hometown newspaper to be the editor. And I said, I'm not an editor. And he goes, you ought to try it. And so I came back to Muskogee, and I was the city editor for the newspaper. So I oversaw all the reporting. Be blunt, it made me sick. It made me physically sick. I remember two different times that I had the shingles. I just, you know, there was way too much stress in my life trying to get that paper out and control all these young reporters. I wasn't much older, but I was a little bit older. Yeah, it was just too much. And so I did it for about a year and a half, and then I came to the Tulsa Tribune.
Binghamton, New York, mm-hmm. That person who said there's an opening there, was he being kind? Did he want you to leave?
No, his name is Sal DeVivo, and Sal was being kind. He knew I was not... I was not going to be a lifer there. There were lots of lifers that had come there, started there, and would always work there. But.
But you left. You had good support
And have some of the most endearing friendships. Those people came here when Kim and I got married. I mean, yes, 40 years after.
But that was an exciting time of your
life.
Oh,
it was very exciting. I mean, you know, I remember going into New York City to cover federal trials and then wandering around. I had to write a few other things because, you know, the mob was not like a daily writing. I wrote about all sorts about the beginnings of casino gambling in upstate New York and Catskills. And yeah, it was fun.
So there are many stories we could get into there. But now you're back in Muskogee. And so then what happens to you?
Nothing. I'm just, you know, I'm there. I'm trying to kind of help direct the newspaper coverage and stuff. I'm maybe occasionally writing something, not a lot. I pretty much, you know, seen everything. Yes. So this is when Mike Turpin and Drew Edmondson kind of come in and take charge. And so Mike Turpin was an assistant district attorney in Muskogee. He'd got graduated from TU and he came here. And then Drew Edmondson, congressman's son, had graduated and he came as an assistant. The district attorney was Julian Feit, one of the best people that I ever met in all my writing. Julian directed his staff. Didn't matter who, they were to prosecute criminals, and it didn't matter if they had titles in front of their names or whatever. And so it was pretty wild. We had prosecutions of three different judges in Muskogee County, lots of gambling cases, lots of other things, because Muskogee had a really strong criminal past. There were still a lot of activities. And so I give a lot of credit to Julian, Drew, and Mike over a period of about 5 or 6 years that they cleaned up the messes. That was all interesting and important, but I was ready to leave Muskogee. It was, again, as I said, you know, the doctor told me, he said, you have got to get someplace where there's less stress.
But you weren't writing. You weren't a reporter.
I was doing a little bit, but not much. And so I was still doing a lot of reporting, but I was not writing about it. So I was out trying to figure out what was going to happen, you know, because I knew all these players and I had grown up with them. So I my hand was still in it.
But did you get pushed back? You said three judges.
Yes.
And can you take one of them? Was there a story there? What had the judge done?
So they were all prosecuted by the Oklahoma Council on Judicial Complaints. They were, I think eventually Jay Cook may have gone to prison. I think he did. He was the special judge, maybe bribery, something. I can't remember exactly, but he did. Judge Porter, who was the associate district judge, he was thrown out for erratic behavior as a judge. And then the granddaddy of them all, Bill Hayworth, was thrown out for oppression and corruption. Yeah, it was for a very short period. We had no judges in Muskogee County.
A population of about how many?
40,000 people.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
It was.
So then do you reach out? Do you decide, I got to get out of here?
So at some point, my reporter friends at the Tulsa Tribune say that the Tribune's interested in hiring. So I'm working on a story that I know one of the editors is very interested, Tribune editors is very interested in. So I get it all put together, and we run it in Muskogee. And it was about a gangster who was kind of getting his feet in place down in Salisaw around Blue Ribbons Downs because horse racing was coming. I think my memory is he had murdered a couple of people. So anyway, he's in play. I write the story. We're out. My assumption is we're out drinking. We're doing something, talking about it. And we get the crazy idea that once it comes off the press that night, we should take copies of it and take it up to the Tulsa Tribune newsroom elevator and glue it to the wall. So that when the editor, Windsor Ridenour, came into the elevator, as he did every morning, he'd see the story that he wanted and had his reporters working on, already published and stuck to the wall.
Okay. Why this kind of action?
I don't know.
You just wanted to show him that we got something you didn't.
That's correct.
We're a little newspaper down here in Muskogee.
That's correct.
And you're the great Tulsa Tribune.
That's correct.
And we beat you at your game.
We did. And that's exactly. Maybe that was it. Maybe there was something else going on. But anyway, it was a quick thought. It's 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. You're not thinking straight. You probably had a couple of beers. So why not?
So did you get a call from Windsor Ridenour?
I did. I did.
And
three weeks later, he called me and he said, "You need to come up here or I want to hire you." And I said, "Maybe." And so I come and we go to the press club, maybe 1 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, all the other reporters at the Tulsa Tribune, who I know, they all show up trying to figure out what had happened, whether Windsor had killed me or whether I'd killed Windsor or what. And we were badly drunk by this point because we'd been drinking for 4 hours straight and we were still yelling at each other. And, you know, periodically he would say, you know, we want you here. This is what I'm going to pay you. And I would yell at him about it. And so we had this running, yelling argument. And to be honest with you, if those reporters had not been there, I couldn't have remembered what I had agreed to and what I'd said because we were both very, very inebriated.
But why were you fighting over something?
Oh, we just didn't like each other.
Oh, from the get-go.
I didn't like him lots of different ways. And so I didn't like the way he treated my friends. I didn't like, so we were, and even when I came, you know, Gene Jones and the family had to spend most of their time just keeping us away from each other because Windsor and I just always fought.
So if Windsor didn't like you, why was he trying to hire you?
He knew I was good. He knew that I could bring a certain talent writing about criminals to his team, and he really did not have, he had one person, and she had really gotten burned out, mainly because of Windsor writing about crime. And there were still lots of crime going on.
All right, so bring us to what year about are we talking about?
This is 19... I came in 84. I came to the Tribune in 1984. And so I came, because I remember I came with the flood.
Okay. So what did you start writing about?
Murder.
Murder. All yep. right. The murder of?
She was a, you'll remember this, she was a young radio reporter, and she was snatched by a serial killer out of the parking lot in West Tulsa. I try to remember her name. I can see her. Everybody else was out covering the flood, and so they sent me out to the shopping center there in West Tulsa, covered it all the way to his execution.
Do we have, I can't remember the names. I know that story too, but I can't remember the names of, or the killer. Do you remember the killer?
I remember what he looks like, but I don't remember his name.
Right.
He had about five deaths on him. So, yeah. He ended up, the case, because he dumped her body in Rogers County, so the case was tried in Claremore.